Hello and welcome to the Legends of Tabletop podcast. We're getting ready to jump back into the second session of our Siege of Ostracine. Is that what it is? Sound right? Sounds right.
Yes.
I think so. Okay, great. Here we go. Confirmation. Cool. I'm going to kick it over to Oscar and we'll give us a recap and then we'll jump into it.
Okay, so the team was in Alexandria to give a talk at the Great Library about their experiences in Britannia to other leaders of Mythos organizations, kind of a shadow war conference of Malta, if you will, to share information, especially regarding the Shi, these mysterious magical race that you guys had dealings with. And during that time, you met an esteemed scholar who was, you know, with a very good reputation, but he was now in his twilight years. He needed to send his subordinate, his protege, to the town of Ostracine to purchase some scrolls that a person who acquires such things has acquired. But you know, there were rumors of Berber raiders in the area, so they asked you guys if you would escort him there and back. And while on the way there, you started to see signs that people were being attacked, that the countryside was being stripped of food. And then when you get within sight of Ostracine, you are attacked by literally hundreds of baboons. They killed two of your horses, and I think wounded two or three of you before you got within crossbow range of the town, and they stopped their pursuit. And you realize that the town has been under siege. The baboons have been getting in. They've been stealing the food. They've defiled most of the wells. They've been writing, well, one of them has been writing messages in blood. And you did spot this one. He's twice the size of a regular baboon, with the head of an Egyptian hound. And you learned from the scholar kid, Petrus, that yellow baboons are sacred to several Egyptian gods, and that when a baboon shows up with a head like this, it's usually an avatar. It's usually a servant, a direct servant of the gods. They call it an Ani. And Ani are usually created by the gods Thoth, Happy, and Khonsu, which is god of magic, divine protector of Coptic jars, and god of healing in the moon. The message that the creatures have been leaving on the town is return the handmaiden, which doesn't make any sense to anyone. You found yourself trying to find some of this graffiti and then looked up and found out that there were literally probably about 50 baboons on rooftops watching you, including the Ani. And the Ani just kind of let you guys know we can get in and out of this town whenever we want, and just spread his hands and let you depart. We did not attack, trying to send a message that, you know, you are not safe and we are in control. So that message was clear. As a side plot, this was Macrion's first time home in 5 years. His long-term lover, whom he has not seen in many years, really railed into him about being away so long and how long is he going to stay. And it really got him thinking about pursuing this relationship. And I suppose after the death of his dear friend in Britannia, he started thinking about, well, I don't have an heir. You know, maybe I should spend a little bit more time at home. And as he left, he promised, I'll just be back in a couple of days, and began to propose, whereupon she stopped him and said, you know, don't say anything now. Propose to me proper when you get back, or else I'll be just worried sick the whole time you're gone. And that's where we left off, under siege in Ostracine.
So we're winning, right?
Oh, yeah, very much so. The blood splatters say winner on it everywhere.
So those 200 baboons surrounding the town, that seems like winning.
Did we get any sense that the baboons themselves possessed any like extra intelligence, or were just being directed by this avatar through its, you know, through its will, I guess, right?
Make a natural world roll.
Ooh, I don't think I can do that, but sure.
Well, everyone can try.
But I can.
I think the base is, even if you're born in the city, your base is 15.
32. I'm not sure. Seems weird to me.
16 out of 50.
Nice.
16 out of 50 tells you that these animals are not this bright, and they're not bright enough to surround a town. They're not bright enough to poison a well. You know, they're not bright enough to make, you know, to isolate a place by killing off the messengers and blocking the road. They are dangerous and they are intelligent and very crafty, but they don't have that level of forethought.
Mm.
So they're somehow being supernaturally controlled.
Or they're just obeying orders.
True, right, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ani is a baboon. It is one of their kind.
Mm.
Just enhanced.
Right.
Greatly.
Mm.
Okay, well, we should probably have, maybe Patelis can gather up the townsfolk. We'll get them situated perhaps in one or two buildings, maybe build a few fires. We need to find Senbu. Petrus, did he say where were you supposed to meet once we arrived?
I was only told to get to Ostracine and that he would meet me. Apparently he said that there would be people watching to see when I arrived. I actually don't know where in Ostracine to meet him. He was supposed to have people waiting for us.
I can't imagine that anybody would be on the roads watching, with those baboons about.
One of the town people comes forward and says that good for nothing. I haven't seen him since all of this started. But he did come back to town. The house he owns is on the far side of town, but that's one of the first areas that fell. So we haven't been in there. It'd be dangerous to move through that area, but they can kind of give you directions to it. They said, you know, it's this rundown house at the end of the street. You know, he lives there with like half a dozen, cronies. And they say that, you know, you really get the feeling that people don't like him, but you're not really sure why. They're not giving you specifics on what he's done. Like, they're not saying, oh, he's killed someone or he's, you know, a bully. There's just a level of distaste, but you're not really given a reason.
So I push him on it then. And I'm like, we were supposed to meet him here, or he was supposed to meet us. Either way, we have no prior association with him. What is it about him that provokes such displeasure? What type of man are we dealing
with? They say that he's a scavenger. He's a grave robber. He breaks into ancient tombs looking for burial treasure and then steals them from the dead.
Yes.
They say that it is a distasteful profession. You know, I mean, these people could possibly be our ancestors, you know, and they say, you know, farming is hard. Working a trade is hard. We understand. But, you know, an honest day's work is, you know, a virtuous thing to steal, let alone steal from the dead, because that invites the wrath of the gods.
So
it appears as though it has.
Somebody's like, you know, we always knew that he'd bring ruin down onto this town for that.
The baboons, do they only attack at night? Do they attack during the day?
They come and go as they please, day, night. Whenever anybody tries to leave, they're there. If we try and move through the town to gather supplies from areas that have been, you know, abandoned, they're there. You know, they're keeping us penned in. You know, they were surprised that you guys came back unharmed. From just, you know, walking out of the perimeter for a few blocks.
And nothing has seemed to deter them. No fire, no water, nothing.
They said, we've killed dozens of them, and they just keep coming.
Oh.
I mean, but, you know, at this point, we're running out of arrows. We're running out of sling stones. We're definitely running out of food and water. You know, at this point, they don't need to attack. They just need to keep us from escaping. And they'll starve us out in a week.
Hmm.
Well, I wonder if there is something in here that they are after.
This Senbu, he did not show anything the last time he was here. Did he speak about this handmaiden, perhaps? Something he was trying to sell?
He says, Petra says, I'm aware of is that he had come into possession of a group of scrolls. I don't know what other burial treasures he might have looted from whatever tomb he was, robbing. But certainly I wasn't here to buy any remains.
I ask the townspeople, does anybody work with him? I know that he's brought shame to the town, but is there anyone that he is in contact with normally?
They said yes, that he has a group of townspeople who are childhood friends who go on these expeditions with him, but they all live together.
In the same area.
In the same house.
In the same house, okay.
And no one has seen any of them?
Not for a few days. Somebody comes forward and says, I saw them when they came in. They were in rough shape. A few of them were wounded, but none of them very seriously so. It's often the case when they come back from an expedition, you know, dirty bumps and bruises. But
had they said where they were?
No, they never do, because they're always afraid some other group is going to find the location they've been working and beat them to the next score.
Makes sense.
And one other person says, you know, look, you know, I know everybody's giving this guy a bad rap, but he's really not that bad. You know, he brings in a lot of money to the town. Scholars and collectors from all over the empire come to this little backwater to make purchases from him. And, you know, him and his men spend their money here. So, you know, it may be distasteful to some, but it's a boon to the economy.
Yes, and after all, the trade-off of a little coin to the wrath of the gods is a perfectly reasonable one.
We don't know that he's responsible for this.
And I just, like, tilt my head at them.
I just shake my head. I look at the ground.
One of the other townspeople is like, you know, sure, you'll defend him. You know, most of the money, you know, most of the money he brings in goes to you and your bar. And he goes, that's not fair. And then they start, like, jostling, and Lisa's character breaks it up. If you got this much energy, go fix a barricade.
Petra.
Macrion. Yes.
Are you familiar with the burial processes of the ancestors of these people?
Oscar, would I be? They do have a house here. You want like an...
You'd have to make an occult roll to know anything about ancient Egyptian burials.
Okay, I will do so. 47 under 81.
Okay. Important Egyptians were often buried with vast amounts of burial goods because they believed that they would be taking these objects with them into the afterlife. Sometimes these possessions included servants who would be killed and buried with their mistress or master or king or whatever. These bodies would be preserved by mummification, you know, a process where the body would be treated with herbs and chemicals, and a process where the body would not rot, supposedly for thousands of years. But it required the removal of their organs, because the organs would just be these, you know, lumps of tissue in the middle of the body prone to decomposition. So those important organs would be removed and placed in jars, which would be stored near the corpse.
So I relate that. Prominent citizens would be interred, sometimes with their slaves. A great untold amount of wealth would be buried with them as they were preparing for the afterworld, afterlife. So if he makes his business breaking into these tombs, there is more than enough to keep one in coin, I suppose. It seems as if he has found something and taken something that he shouldn't have.
Like perhaps a handmaiden.
Yes, what we don't know is whether or not that is perhaps a servant, wife, or if that is some statue, some representative of said person.
Well, if these kings or lords or whatever are, you know, oftentimes buried with their servants, then perhaps this grave robber accidentally stole one and the gods want her back.
Do you mean to say they took a body?
I mean, I think that would be unlikely. Where would the coin be in taking someone's corpse? It's normally things that are easily transferable.
What if it's just a part of the body? You said that they store the organs in jars. Maybe if it was a jar that looked particularly expensive.
That could be.
It also says, comes forward, you know, as they're, everybody's kind of gathered around because you guys are, you know, the saviors, or so they think, and says that, they have brought back mummies before and sold them to collectors and tourists.
I turn paler than I actually am, and that's pretty pale to begin with.
And they said,
and I cover my mouth because
sometimes
like,
these corpses are even burned. They go up pretty spectacularly because of all of the chemicals on them. So they're often, sometimes they're, you know, buyers will set them on fire as part of celebration.
I start saying things in another language that no one else really understands what I'm saying, but I'm just disgusted by all of this. And just the thought of taking any, whether it's a body or a body, I'm paler than normal and just cursing up a storm right now.
See, this is why we should just burn them when they die, to avoid all of this messy storage business.
And by the way,
fire, it works much better.
The whole part about people setting mummies on fire as a form of recreation, I am not making that up. That's actually
so gross.
That's actually been reported in history.
What?
Yeah.
That's fucked up. I'm sorry. I'll blur that out, but damn.
Yeah.
Oh,
so Macrion understands.
I mean, I bet like
everything.
The greens. I bet the green flames look pretty awesome.
Green flame. while you're swearing, Dorina, Macrion is just kind of like, and you know, sort of shaking his head because I have 35% in Brythonic, so I'm like, oh yeah, okay, yep, that makes sense. Yeah.
I just fact checked myself, and yes, mummies were burned like coal to produce steam on rail lines between Cairo and Egypt.
Oh dear Lord! So it wasn't even recreational
in the 19th century.
So all right, I'm so sorry. We're going to go down this rabbit hole because like Meta Regina is really fucking wild out by this. But are you saying they mummified people to use for transportation purposes?
They looted the mummies out of their respectful tombs and used them as a coal substitute.
Because there were so many, quote unquote, right? And like they were already dead. So like, we'll just use this.
No wonder why we're all going.
It's so messed games. Up.
Oh my god, I can't. All right.
Okay. I'm also looking up 7 surprising uses for mummies. There were unwrapping parties in the Victorian era where they would unwrap a mummy.
That I knew about.
They also used to drink the mummy powder. Or snort the mummy powder or whatever the fuck. Yeah.
As an ingredient in paint, as fertilizer. Yeah.
Fertilizer makes sense.
Yeah. Like, Home Depot knowledge here. Fertilizer makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
Specifically, cat mummies were a popular form of fertilizer.
Not the kitties.
Yeah, there were a lot of cat mummies. What can I tell you?
Well, I mean,
who doesn't want to have a cat in the afterlife? If there's not cats in heaven, I don't want to go.
Fair.
I'm not going to argue that. So after I stop cursing in another language, I look at Mafion and Conscious, and I'm like, we need to find this person.
One of the guys who does not look like he's the same ethnicity as the rest of the villagers, hearing you cursing in another language, he comes forward saying, I don't know what you're saying, ma'am, but I do know that tone. And he passes you a skin.
A what?
A skin.
A wine skin?
Yeah. Oh, I thank him. I don't drink it. I don't drink okay. from wine from strangers. But goes, I thank it's him not anyway. Wine.
He says, it's not wine.
I thank him anyway, and I just pass it back.
Okay. He takes a long swig of it and, well, you know, and heads back off his merry way.
But
it's actually we must fermented find camel man. Milk.
Ew! I'm glad I didn't drink that. No, thank you. But we need to find this man. If he's potentially taken a woman or a part of a woman, I can understand why these beings are so upset. Where should we go? Where should we try to look?
You do know where his house is.
As you say, our most obvious place to jump off our investigation would be his home, I would imagine.
But they said it was run down. Is it safe for us to go?
No, it's run down nowhere. Because a bunch of slobs live there. I mean, it's not like...
I thought the apes took it over and like destroyed it when you said run down. My apologies on that. All right. Erase. Let's go there.
It's like the crack house in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay. Where the motorcycle gang lives. Like run down in that sense.
Okay. My apologies on that. I took it too literally.
It would seem, and there's no guarantee, of course, because nowhere is safe inside this town, but it appears that the Ani has given us some amount of leeway to return that which was stolen. Perhaps we will be able to look about without too much problem. And I assume that we head out towards the house then. We were already all geared up because we were on the road, right? So
Right.
All right. So you have not rested. So you're all pretty tired. And it is night. But
yeah, I mean, do we want to go in the sleazy part of town in the morning?
Are we going to really be able to sleep knowing that there's...
Right. I mean, there's half of six of one, half dozen the other.
I feel like it's one of those things where, like, as tired as you may be from traveling on the road, like, this is not something that's going to get better, right? Like, if we've been granted some amount of permission to, like, do the thing, I don't think, like, sleeping for 8 hours is going to, like, endear us to the Ani, right?
Your call.
I don't want to sleep for 8 hours. I want to get out of here. I don't want to... A rough situation. I mean, I don't mind sleeping till the sun is up.
Do we have some sense of what time it is?
It's the night has fallen, but it's just recently fallen.
With
a lantern and maybe a torch, you guys can easily find your way through town and get to this house.
My worry is that if we go in there unprepared, not knowing where we are or who is there in the dark, there may be survivors outside of the baboons who would take that as an opportunity.
I'm not sure about your abilities, Consus, but Doreen and I have seen... any number of things to make a grown man shiver. I believe that we would be able to handle ourselves against any human interlopers. He kind of like, kind of cracks his back and, you know, rolls his shoulders. Like, he's a big dude.
Yeah. at that point, I would actually like to take a knee, and I'll draw a circle on the in the dirt and pull out some dried chicken livers of a small bag, and see if the gods believe this is a favorable decision for us. I will call upon the Kemenai.
Okay.
To shine their lights upon me. Yes.
Do you have the spell, or are you just using the skill?
I have the spell.
Okay. You get a clear vision that you are operating in a window of opportunity. That the longer this goes on, the more people will die, and the greater the chance for escalation. Basically, the fates are telling you this is the turning of the tide.
Yeah.
And it can go either way from here, but this is the moment.
Yeah, so as a stone falling, we have but the barest of opportunity to pass below it before it slams down upon us. The Kemenai tell me that we have a slight opportunity before our time ends.
Then we should make haste.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, yes.
When you stand up, I just kind of slap you on the shoulder. Just head off towards the house.
Okay. So you arm yourself with lanterns or torch or...
Mm-hmm. Both probably, or two lanterns if we can.
Okay.
Absolutely. What I think it would be wise for me to have my knife handy just in case.
Okay.
Ditto.
I guess
I usually use it to carve up chickens, but I guess it'll do in this case.
Okay. So let me get to that section.
I am unarmed. I have the lantern, but I am armored. So.
Yes. Let me make that clear as well. I'm wearing all I need to be wearing right now.
Okay. So when you get to the block where you're told, you see that the baboons have kind of looted through a lot of these buildings. So every building on this block looks like the rundown building.
Of course.
Did they like give I was just going to say, did they give us a specific, like it's the house on the right-hand side at the end of the street?
You have a choice of six houses that it could be.
I'm going to roll a listen and see if I can hear anything.
Okay.
And I pass.
You hear movement just beyond the edge of your lantern light, kind of on the roofs above you and on the street behind you.
So I gesture to them to look up and to look behind. Can we see anything?
As you hold up the lantern, it reflects the eyes of dozens of large baboons who are trailing you from rooftop to rooftop and kind of following your steps, observing you. Some of them are walking with just three legs, and you see in their their right paw, they have like a large fist sized stone.
Oh,
that they're kind of like lopping around with ammunition.
Hansa shudders.
I need everybody to make a sand check.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't think that's gonna do it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, maybe it is. Oh, yeah, I'm good. 72 under 84.
Good.
So I think...
Okay, I'm gonna treat that as a two-point loss.
Even if you passed?
Oh, if you pass, nothing.
So I think Macrion stops, right? So he backs up from the building a little bit and holds the lantern up, right, so they can clearly see us. Mm-hmm. And he just says out loud, "We are here to return the handmaiden." Like, because he doesn't really, because it's not normal baboon behavior, and he doesn't know if the Ani is around. We have come to investigate and return the handmaiden if we are able. And just kind of like, you know, holds his like, eh?
Make a hard luck check.
Okay. No, I should have called those dice the other way. 71, and my luck is, what is my luck right now? 61. So it's a fail.
All right, everybody, the other two players can roll to see if one of you makes a hard luck check because you're all together.
Nope. At least I didn't fail as bad as Jean did.
I did actually make it. Holy shit.
Okay.
27 out of 65.
A stone.
We have a fail, a pass, and a hard pass. Look at that.
A stone comes whistling from a rooftop right in your direction. And before you even realize it, it sails above your heads and breaks the window of one of the six houses that you think it might be.
I look at my companions and I kind of just nod my head to go that way without really saying anything.
Mm-hmm. He like Macrion nods in the direction that the rock came from and says, thank you. And then makes his way, you know, lantern ahead over in that direction.
Okay. As you go over to that in that direction, it's clear that no women live in this house. There are dirty plates. There are, you know, mugs. There are wineskins. There's dirty clothes on the floor. And you see dumped in one corner, there are sacks, backpacks, hammers, coils of rope, pry bars, tripods with hooks. So all of the stuff of, you know, all of the accoutrement of professional grave robbers. So you're definitely in the right house. You're in the right house. But, you know, it's like a four-room, single-story dwelling with a slight second story that's kind of like almost like an attic storage space.
Yeah.
You look around and you don't see anyone. You glance in each of the rooms.
I want to look a little better. Can I roll for spot hidden?
Sure.
Yeah, I think we would kind of tear this apart a little bit if there's...
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to spend 10 luck points on it, though. Fuck. I'm a fail.
Nope. Spot hidden. What's my spot? See, I fail.
Yeah. We see nothing.
It appears not to be here. Perhaps he has another location?
Well, I'm assuming that they didn't stick around after the baboons attacked now. Perhaps they took all of their gains with them to where
all of their all of their travel tools and packs are in the living room.
That's unusual. What? If all the things that they need are there, they should be there.
Where they shouldn't be far.
That's true.
But now, all of the stuff, I mean, I'm assuming that they haven't sold all of the stuff that they've gotten. They should have some of their gains.
You don't see a single ancient artifact anywhere in the
apartment. Right.
Can I track by any chance?
Sure.
See if I can find footsteps? All right. Yes, 50 out of 70.
You find that somebody was walking around with a wound and there are blood drops, and they go over to this large rug, but there's no blood on the rug.
So I'm going to feel around the rug.
You feel that the floorboards below the rug are a little loose, and then you can kind of touch and feel a hinge.
I'm going to do, pull it off.
Okay, you find the concealed door.
Yeah. And I'm going to pop it open. But I'm not going to go in just yet. I'm just going to make... Oh, God.
You pull it open. You move the rug and you pull it open. And it what hits you is the sickly, sweet smell of human decomposition.
Oh, I know that smell. I try not to gag.
This is why you burn the body first.
Perhaps this one was too wounded to flee. And,
There's a ladder leading from this door into a lower chamber.
Before anybody goes down, I just kind of like, you know, kind of squat and put the lantern into the hole. And I say, is anyone left alive down there?
As you put the lantern down and squat, you spot like the corpses of two men. Like laying sprawled out on the floor in this chamber. Okay, so when so basically I'm assuming you're like laying on the floor, leaning kind of half down into the hole with the lantern.
Mm.
and you call out, is there anybody left alive down here? And you see the two corpses. Okay.
If nobody answers, then I would stand up and then go down, right? I mean,
give me a second.
Yeah. Or we're going to get murdered by some undead creatures.
All of a sudden, Macreon gets pulled into the hole and like falls down, and the lantern goes out.
Macreon, whoa!
You basically, when you say, is there anybody alive in there? You get like a shadowy movement. You feel a hand like grab your shoulder and just yank you down. And come stumbling with you as if it was like kind of half like took a step onto the ladder and then grabbed you and pulled you down.
Well, he had a good run.
Before the lamp goes out, I need you to make a sand check.
Oh, no.
Okay. I was going to ask, can I make a spot? Do I see what it is?
Macreon, what do you see?
60 is a success on my sand.
You saw a walking corpse with several like stab wounds and slash wounds, and all of these wounds are just teeming with maggots that are like falling out of it. Maggots are like crawling around in its eyes. It has a dagger sticking out of its neck and a gladius hilt deep in its chest. And I need you to make a sand check.
I think this is one of those instances where you wanted to fail the spot hit.
All right. So 17 past the sand.
Right.
That would be hard sand, I guess.
So I yell for Macreon.
1 point. 1 point? Okay.
Macreon, are you okay?
No. There's a corpse. This is alive.
I'm coming in.
You can jump down.
Yeah,
and
I'm jumping
in. If you make a jump roll, you won't suffer damage.
Okay. Oh, did I take any damage when I fell?
Yes. Hold on.
40 on the dot. I passed.
Okay.
Nice. Tina
hops down nimble. Macreon took 2 points of damage in the fall. Darina, did you jump down with a torch?
No, I didn't. Did I have it? I don't know if I had a torch or not. I probably didn't have one. I should have had one, but...
You guys said you had a torch and a lantern.
Yep, then I did have one. Yes, then I had it in my hand when I jumped down.
When you get down there, you also see this corpse. And it like turns and regards you and Macreon lying on the floor as if deciding who to attack. I need you to roll a sand check.
Even though I was warned about the dead guy? Doesn't matter?
Yeah.
I pass, I'm fine.
It's like I can tell you I'm going to hit you in the nuts. And then when I hit you in the nuts, it's still going to hurt.
I don't know. Sorry. This is not
even if you know it's coming, it's still going to suck. Like, oh, I thought I'd be prepared, but apparently not. Did you pass?
Yes, I did.
Okay, 1 point.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, so.
We going dex order?
Well, I'm going to go last. I'm a zombie. I'm going on 35, so.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
Just barely below me.
Okay, so once Jesse goes, I'll go, because that'll be everyone's action. You were surprised. And are prone. So, Macreon, I guess you can get up.
Yeah.
Actually, your action was to yell up that there was a living dead guy down here.
That's not a free action.
Jesse? Diving down the hole.
Yeah. I'll climb down the ladder.
Okay, you'll be able to hit the ground.
Yeah. I'm doing it very cautiously.
Okay.
Look out for the dead guy!
Darina, it lunges for you, and you nimbly step, sidestep it, and it is the party's round. Jesse, you'll get to the bottom of the steps and can make one brief action, like Darina, throw a dagger or something like that, but not like position yourself to attack with a melee weapon.
No, I'm actually going to like try to separate myself a little bit.
Okay, you want no part of the combat. Gotcha.
They've said they've got this.
Okay. I don't remember hearing that, but okay.
I just said, Macreon said we could handle things, not everything, but okay.
That's great.
All right. Macreon, what's your dex?
Well, you're up and
ready. It doesn't matter. So the zombie's going last.
All right, okay, that's fine. It's got, all right, I'm going to try to shank it with my knife.
In the head.
What happens. In the head, yes. Yeah, definitely, like, right center okay, in the head.
On. As Macrion is on the floor standing up, he's like, in the head, this is not our first zombie.
Hold on a second, I got to see what the,
Oh okay, my that's God, gonna, right.
It will be specifically aimed for the head with a penalty dice attack.
Okay.
Is there a ganging up rule for Call of Cthulhu? I don't remember. No.
Okay. I don't remember, but.
All right, let's do this. Nope. I didn't get a 99, but okay, I feel pretty bad.
You slam it into his, you try and go for his temple, and you end up hitting his jaw, which kind of like breaks. You hear the bone breaking on the knife.
Oh, and fabulous.
He just vomits out a bunch of maggots as his jaw kind of comes flopping around. Macrion?
So I'm going to do something dumb.
Go for it.
Won't be the first time.
If it involves fire, that's what I was thinking, so go for it.
No, so I'm on
the... You don't have dynamite and Invictus, though.
So. You're right. So does it walk past me to get at her?
It kind of half turns.
Half turns. Okay. So what I want to do is kind of like... So I'm on the floor, right? So I want to get up behind it. So like as I'm getting it, kind of like rolled this way so I'm behind it, I just want to grab it.
Okay, make a brawl check.
Okay. Oh, fuck, that's 100. I saw the first zero and I was so excited.
Okay, what you do is you grab it and you pull. And you immediately feel like the wet, decomposing flesh slide off your arms. And like where you grabbed it, the skin like peels off in your hand. And, you're like covered in this decomp fluid with like maggots wriggling on you. And you have, you have to make another sand check.
Fuck.
This is what happens when you're 100. It's giving me carte blanche to do fucked up things.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So because I lost that 1 point, I failed. I rolled an 84 over 83.
Okay, that's going to be 2 more points of sand loss.
Damn it.
All right, all right. The zombie's turn.
Oh, great.
Shit.
Ew, it's so gross.
Okay. Darina, you like stabbed it in the neck. It had no effect. You started backing away. You see Macrion try and grab it. And just like parts of its tunic and skin and flesh peel away. And as he's grabbing it, it like spins around because of the force of him pulling it.
Yeah.
And just reaches out and locks both of its hands around his throat.
Oh no!
So, Macrion, you are hit for... Do you have armor?
I do have armor.
Roll it.
Well, if it's choking me, then I guess it wouldn't count, right? I mean, is it choking damage or is it trying to...
Armor is armor. He didn't roll a penalty dice for a called shot to get around your armor, so I'm going to... Your armor's still in effect.
Okay. Cool.
Dude, don't commit suicide on me, okay?
I just, you know...
I'm letting you have the armor bonus to take it. I know what I rolled, okay?
Yeah, I got 3 reduction.
Okay, good. You still take 2 points of damage.
Okay.
That would have been a 5-point hit, dude.
Yeah.
All right, party's around. Everyone can act. You're now down in the basement, Jesse.
Yeah.
And since you're not involved in combat, you see there are, aside from the 2 corpses at the bottom of the ladder, there are 3 other corpses down here. And there's a table and several bookcases and shelves. And they're all filled with like bits of broken pottery, scrolls. Some items gleam gold. There's like ceremonial tools and household goods. There's even like a fucking child's chair that's like made of like fine wood. And so there's a lot of...
Do I see anything that I think... Because, I mean, I've dealt with, you know, death and rituals and things like that, at least in my hometown. Do I see any like charms or you know, small monuments or anything like
spend some time searching this. And that'll cost it'll be your spot hidden roll and 45 minutes. So it's not something that you can do quickly now.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
There's just too many knickknacks and it's dark and not well lit down here.
That makes sense.
And there's, you know, a zombie.
So since it's grabbing me, friend. Well, so I don't know if I could, like, I don't know if mechanically I can do this, right? So it's choking me. So what I want to do is break the grasp and just kick it away from me. But I don't know if that's like two different things. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that works.
I will allow you to roll brawl to break the hold.
Okay.
And then I will allow you to make a second brawl check with a penalty dice to kick it in the chest.
Yeah.
To knock it back from you.
All right.
I'm looking something up for you, John. I think I'm hoping it might help.
Okay. Well, I got my fighting brawl is 43. So I'm sorry, 63. I rolled a 44. So I break the grasp.
So you knocked its hands away.
Okay. So then let's see. Those two are the penalty dice. So 73 is not going to make it, but I don't know if I would spend 10 luck to do it.
Well, Darina hasn't attacked yet. It may not be necessary. I also need you to make a con check.
Fuck. All right. I would have made it without the penalty. Con check. Ooh, that's a 96. That's not great.
Oh, God.
Okay. Sepsis, here we come. It's Darina, not a fumble.
Darina, make a sand check. Make a spot hidden.
Okay. Let's pass this. Please and thank you. 20 out of 75.
Okay, in the lamplight, as Jesse's descending and lighting the area much better, you see Macrion is like broken the hands away and kind of like taken a step back and tried to kick it but failed. You see that Macrion is bleeding from around his neck.
Oh, God.
Like it is like scratched open.
Yeah.
And you can see maggots like moving into the wound.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Party's round.
Oh, God.
Well, you're around. Macrion's already gone.
Yeah, he is.
Could I grab Macrion and just bring him upstairs?
No, there's a zombie between you and him.
There's no way I could just, like, push the zombie away.
No, literally, he said he's coming up behind the zombie that was attacking you. So it's literally you, zombie, him.
Oh, shit. All right, can't take out my crossbow. Well, I got my knife. All right.
Penalty dice for headshot.
Oh, God. What's the penalty?
It's a penalty dice.
Roll 2d10 for your tens.
And you have to take the worst one.
Okay. All right. So that was 1d10. And then that's the other one. Ah, they're both fours.
Ah! All right. So you hit both times?
Yes, I do.
All right, so you do manage to score a hit on the zombie in his head. Give me damage.
Oh, God. It's a d4 plus 2 plus damage bonus, and I do not have damage bonus, so a 5 altogether. Okay,
5. It winces, and it kind of like stumbles back and then turns and attacks you.
Oh, fudge.
You've heard it. It's clearly affected, but it's not enough. Wasn't enough to kill it. And it misses as it lunges for you. So party's round.
Jesse didn't go yet.
Oh, Jesse. Well, he was looking around and surveying the area.
Oh, you made the spot. Okay.
Yeah.
I pull out my knife and try to stab it in the head.
Okay.
This is not looking at me.
Attack with a penalty dice.
Okay. Fuck, 94.
Damn, throw that dice in the garbage.
Darina?
All right, so penalty, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Damn it, one was a 0-0, but the other's an 80.
Okay, so it's going to be a no.
That's a no.
Jesse?
I'm like, ah, shit, what is that?
That's a failed con.
I will tell them, there is more. This is not a good place. And I will then take my dagger and run up and try to stab the one that Darina stabbed.
Okay. When I said there were corpses, they're lying dead. This is the only one moving around.
Well, all right. So yeah, far. But yeah.
All right. Give me an attack. Are you going specifically for the head?
Yeah, I suppose. It's not going to be good, but. Not even close. 97.
Jesus. What's your skill?
20.
Oh,
that's a fumble.
as you come up on it, you lose your footing and like stumble into it.
Oh,
and it like grabs you, and tries to like, you know, it like kind of grabs you on your cloak and just goes with its like bony claws to try and slash at you and misses. So party's round.
I really kind of want to grab it again. It's because it'll be easier. Would it make it easier mechanically for them to hit it?
If it was held or knocked prone and held down, I would allow attacks without the penalty dice.
I tackle it. I'm like, dude, fuck. And just rush at it from behind and just try to drive it into the ground. Brawl?
Yeah, make a brawl.
70. Fuck that. I'm spending their luck. I roll the 7. Oh, can you spend luck on combat? I don't remember.
I think so.
I'm going to say yes for now.
Okay, I'll spend the 10 luck. I tackle that motherfucker. The ground.
If anybody's watching, you can look up the rules and post. Okay, you tackle it, you knock the zombie down. Darina and Adius, you can make standard attacks, which would count as headshots.
All right.
But Macrion, you are literally holding it down. You like not only knocked it down, you're like
I'm on top of it.
You're pinning its arms so it can't get up. The only person that's gonna be able to attack is you.
Yeah. All right. I mean, it's face down, so I mean
All right. Okay. So I'm going at it. Going after its head. And 43 out of 50. Thank you. All right. And 2 plus 2, 4 points of damage.
Okay. Darina comes over, just slams the dagger in the top of its head. That's a total of 9 points of damage to the head. It's still up. Adius.
I rolled an 89. I'm literally like head turned.
Not me, not me.
Oh my god!
I need Macrion and Darina to make a luck roll.
Oh,
so much rolling!
Oh,
I got an odd
five. Pass.
He doesn't.
Pass.
He doesn't stab either one of you with his uncalculated, half blindfolded flailing.
Oh my goodness!
Okay, Macrion. It does something particularly frightening. You hear bones snapping and its arms kind of like dislocate and like turn the wrong way to grab at you. And the head just turned completely 180 and you hear like the neck cracking. So now it's like facing up at you with these weird, awkward arms trying to grab at you.
That's terrible.
And it misses.
All right, good. I'm like, stay down, stab this thing.
Okay, Macrion is screaming, stand, you know, stab this thing, Darina.
All right, I guess I'm going to try again. Let's hope for the best. All right. Oh, save Jeebus. I'll spend 1 luck point on that. 51, I'll take 1 luck point for it. 3 plus 2, 5. If it's not dead, I'm very upset.
That's enough. That is enough to put it down. It stops moving, finally.
Thank God.
Oh.
I roll off of it and then immediately like get up and start like rubbing at my neck. I'm like, I think it got me.
Can I give him first aid?
Go ahead.
We packed some form of alcohol somewhere, I guess.
You look at it with first aid. You can put like a dressing on the wound.
Yeah.
But you know you saw parasites move under the skin. So he's going to need treatment with a medicine roll.
All right. So I passed first aid. I did a hard success on first aid, but medicine, I have a 1.
And all right.
There's no way I can do that. I can try. I mean, I'll try.
So, Macrion, how much were you wounded for? 2 points?
In total, I lost 4.
Not from the fall.
Oh, yeah. 2 from the scratch.
Okay, so she bandages up your neck wound, but tells you that we're going to need to have a proper doctor look at this.
Okay, I mean, did I get 4 back or did I get 2 back?
You got 2 back.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Darina. It doesn't feel right.
It doesn't look right either. We need to get you back as soon as possible.
Maybe they have a medicus here that can take a look, and he's just kind of like rubbing at where you put the the wrap on.
All right.
I hate to bring it up. However, we do appear to have a small opportunity time to get this done. And
do you want to make a spot hidden?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I mean, if once everything settles down and Constance is like, hey, look at all the shit down here.
Okay, there are torches, there are sconces, so you can light the area well with candles that have been in this area. You see a lot of the stuff now that you're looking at it that is out on display is not of very great value. Some of it's very pretty, and some of it's, you know, can be sold, but nothing really. Like, you don't find the scrolls you're looking for. You don't find, I think, Jesse, you mentioned you were going to look for Coptic jars.
Yes.
You don't see any of those, but I need everybody to make a spot hidden.
I pass.
Yeah, I pass.
18 out of 25.
You find hidden, kind of partially hidden behind, a piece of, like, plywood. I don't think they had plywood back then. But anyway, behind an overturned table. You do find a chest that is locked.
I'm going to take the back of my knife and try to pry it open.
Okay. It takes a few minutes to do, but you can break into this chest.
Wait, check for traps.
Can't do that here.
Inside are four items of gold jewelry. Like a gold ring with a moonstone. A pair of bracers and a medallion. There are six large scrolls with ivory handles. All papyri. Mm. And there's a beautiful Coptic jar made of carved ivory. It has the head of a crane on it.
Well, if those are the scrolls, then that's could be the jar then. I don't know if we need to return. We don't know which tomb it's been stolen from, assuming that this is the one. Perhaps if we...
I'm wondering if it is just good enough to give them back the handmaiden.
If we
leave it out, they'll just take it.
Well, if we offer it up, maybe the Ani will come to claim it.
So would it be silly if we take everything and put it all in the chest and take all of it and hand it to them?
They specifically requested the handmaiden. Petrus was here for the scrolls. I don't know if he was aware of where they were coming from, but the information contained within them is quite valuable.
Would it be wrong of us just to bring everything back and let Petrus decide what he needs?
Well, the only thing which he came here for would be the scrolls. Everything else should be returned.
He doesn't care about anything with that.
He doesn't care anything about that. Okay. I would just hate to leave something behind that they would want. So
out of character, did we get the impression from the old man that these were mythos scrolls or just like generically magic scrolls? Or
they were supposed to be texts on, they were told that they were texts on magic, but they don't honestly know.
Right. Until he took a look at them. Yeah. Right.
Mm.
So then I say, according to the old man, the scrolls were magic scrolls. At least that's what they were led to believe. If they are of a certain nature, they should definitely not go back. It's not the kind of thing that people should have access to. In our work with the Shadow War, this would be best given to Petrus to give to the old man, taken out of circulation. The rest of the stuff can, if the baboons wish it, if the Ani wishes, the jewelry should have it, but the canopic jar should be returned.
I understand. I agree.
One of you should take the scrolls. I will. How big is the chest?
You can carry it. Like, one person could carry it.
Okay. I will take it.
I could hold it. Okay.
Well, right, because if you guys have the scrolls and they don't care, which I'm assuming, then it's fine.
If
we come out with the box with the rest of the stuff, they can either take the box or take the canopic jar or...
Okay.
Would, you know, then it's not together. I'm like, fuck, we really wanted those.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay. So I put the scrolls somewhere in my bag. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we bring Petrus back at some point to like ID the body, like if he knows Senbu, to like see if this is him.
Oh yeah,
if one of them is him. But I turn to Constance and I say, before we, you know, like grab the box and like, you know, head over towards the ladder, he says, "Are you okay? The first time can be a little rough. Are you gonna be all right?"
And he's just like rubbing his head at this point. I believe, though, there is some explanation in order once all this is said and done.
So you really aren't good with that blade. Are you sure that this is the kind of work that you want to follow through with?
If the gods have paired me up with the two of you, then it must be for some purpose. I apparently have some path to follow, and unfortunately, this is it.
Well, if that's what your auguries tell you, I will not argue with the gods.
You will have to explain to me, though, what this whole shadow battle is about.
That, my friend, not is now, a long obviously. Story.
We must, yes, let's...
A long story, not to
preferably over some wine.
Okay. So you're coming out of the house now, or...?
Yep, push the box up, go up the ladder, go outside. Okay. Like, with full, like, somebody's got the torch, and I just walk out into the middle of the street.
Okay, like, we've lost a lot of time, like, searching the house, trying to find the way down. The battle and just recovery and wound treating, and then the meticulous search, and then the debate. So you're all like really tired, but as you're like coming out of the house, the sky is lightning, like it's nearly dawn. So as you come out, you hear like sounds, you know, the calls of baboons, and it like the you just sort of like you spot like one or two, like one across the street, one on a rooftop. On the other side of the street. And when you guys come out, those two or three start calling, and suddenly there's like another dozen and a half appear, and they're all kind of like surrounding the area.
I think like I open the box, open the chest, and I put it down on the ground, and then, you know, take three or four steps away from it and like make eye contact, like, this is, we found it. He just says, like, we found it. It worked last night. It's going to work during the day.
Okay. So you hear a thud from behind you.
Oh, no.
And you turn and you see, you all need to make a sand check. You see a double-sized baboon with the hound head.
Oh, no, I made that one. 81. Maybe.
Oh, it's
on the dot.
I made on it. 5.
I got a 10. All right.
No sand loss. And he kind of like takes a few steps like a baboon. But when he gets closer to the chest, he like pivots onto his rear legs and like walks awkwardly over to the chest and holds on to the side of it. And he looks down, you know, looks up at you, you know, looks back down and pulls out the Coptic jar. And at this point, I need everybody to make a spot hidden roll.
I don't even know what to roll anymore.
I passed.
On 7.
Hey!
That's extreme.
Not even close.
All right. Darina and Macrion, you immediately spot from concealment a group of villagers with flaming arrows and vials of oil are about to hurl it at the Ani.
With the extreme, do I have time to put a stop? Like, he turns and yells. Then he says, "No, you fools! What are you doing? We have returned it! stand down. Like he's like, he'll start like,
all right, you're going to have to make a persuade or an intimidate. Well, no, it's a persuade because you're not threatening them. Dorina, what do you want to do?
What's my persuade?
I'm going to scream on the top of my lungs, back off. And okay. I'm going to do it in like a way that like angry foreigner, you have no idea. Towards them? I only have a knife, but yes, I do.
You have your crossbow.
I have enough time to pull it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's
absolutely.
Just grabbing it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. Roll. You need to roll intimidate and Macrion needs to roll persuade.
I failed, but I am going to spend 29 luck to succeed.
I can spend 7 luck points to pass for intimidate.
That's right, better. You do that.
I'm a crazy angrily marked chick.
Yeah.
Okay. At this point, the townspeople seem disturbed, and like all 18 of those baboons start like hooting and hollering and like, you know, picking up their rocks to attack both you and them. And the Ani just like, you know, tucks the jar under his arm and just like barks out some commands.
Mm.
And it just like looks at you and Dorina, tilts its head to the side, and then lopes off around the corner. And all of the baboons kind of start following him out of the city.
Jesse's shaking his head.
And the townspeople are like, why did you stop us? This was our perfect chance. He was right there. If we killed him, the rest of them would just scatter.
No, you fools. We have returned the handmaiden.
Do you know how many things those people have killed and you just reported them? They're never going to be held accountable.
You're going to hold an animal accountable?
Thank you,
Dorina. Tell me, how are you going to hold an animal accountable? Tell
me.
It was the leader of this army. Everyone who died here is that blood is on his hands. And
no,
now it's on yours.
The blood
will never rest.
The blood of those people are on the hands of Senbu. He is the one who has stolen the Coptic, the Canopic jar, and brought it to this town. We have returned it and they have gone. Do you not recognize an Ani when you see one? You could not have killed that. No more than you found the jar saved your town.
If you need to blame someone, blame the body.
Well, what's done is done. They're not, the townspeople are not happy with you, but there's nothing they can do about it now. And the siege is lifted. When dawn comes, all of the baboons have dispersed and left the area. There are no further attacks. And you're able to get Petrus back to Alexandria with the scrolls intact.
Do they have a doctor here? And are they willing to treat me after I chastise them?
No, those are two separate questions. So it is 3 days before you get back to Alexandria. During that time, you lose 3 points of constitution.
Oh.
So he's growing weaker and paler, and that wound is starting to fester. And you lose 3 points of sand as you can feel the worms multiplying and writhing around in your neck and then down into your chest and shoulder and back.
Why didn't they just threaten the doctor?
And when you get back to Alexandria, you're like in the doctor's care for like a week, but he manages to, clear you of the infestation and infection.
It takes like
3 weeks. con points don't come back easily. So it takes you, especially at a man your age. So it takes you like almost 2 weeks to recover.
Listen, we're talking about Macrion, not John.
I'm older than Macrion. shit.
All right. So that is the Siege of Ostracine.
Nice.
It's different. I like it a lot.
So I don't know if we want to do we want a post show and talk about it? Let's do that.
What do you mean?
So we normally do a post show, like post game, you know, we'll do the sign off and then we'll talk about the game, we'll talk about the session, we'll talk about, you know, how it went, how we felt about it, all that kind of stuff. So if you're amenable to that, then we'll wrap here, we'll do the outro, and then we'll shoot the shit, and then that goes on Patreon.
Okay, whatever you like to do.
Yeah, your show. Cool.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for checking it out. If you are planning on playing with Oscar at Rising Phoenix
or TotalCon,
I guess it's too late to say don't watch this, but there you go. So spoilers. thanks for checking it out. You know, we're happy to have you. Yada yada, Patreon, get all the stuff. There's links in the show notes. You know the deal. We appreciate you checking it out, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.